Disrespect is interviewing on subject of second-level lodging homes. Kaz Klonowski is going to talk to us about his past and his experience with second-level lodging homes. He no longer lives in them, but what he sees happen to his colleagues who are there and what might need fixing with the second-level lodging home system. Kaz, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What have you been? What have you done?
I started when I was 16. I had my first job as a door-to-door salesman. I was a Fuller Brush salesman. They don't have Fuller Brush anymore, but back then they did. I've worked in record stores as a floor walker. I worked as a postal worker, inside sorter. I've had about 18 different careers.
Yeah.
Right now, I...
You used to work in a radio station.
Yeah, I worked as an announcer operator.
Yeah.
For a small FM station up in northern Ontario.
Okay.
When I was still in high school.
All right.
But, yeah, I've had about maybe 18 different careers. I'm not going to get into all of them, but
yeah.
I mentioned a few. But we're talking about second-level lodging homes.
Well, and these are for mental health patients,
for
basically?
Mental health.
Are they exclusively mental health patients?
Not all, no.
Okay.
Some of them are just people who can't take care of themselves.
Okay. Now, you had some experience with second-level lodging homes.
Yeah.
It was a while ago?
Yeah, this is a number of years ago.
But you have a lot of friends who are still in the lodging homes, and in fact, you attend a group.
It's called Coalition for Second-Level Lodging Homes.
Yeah, okay.
And we meet every third Saturday at the Housing Help Center here in Hamilton.
210 Napier, the church,
on Napier, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And... But the problem with boarding homes, I find they're all different. Like, some are really good, where the food's really exceptionally well-cooked and prepared, and other places the food is substandard.
Yeah.
So they're not all the same.
Give us an idea of what substandard food tastes like.
Well, as in one where, let's say, the bologna sandwiches were green.
Okay.
In other words, they were rotten.
Yeah.
And the dog wouldn't even eat it.
You know,
take a sniff at it and leave.
Yeah. Does staff eat the same meals that you eat?
No. At some places they do, and other places they don't.
All right.
It's different in every one.
Okay.
But I was in one home where the guy ate chicken while we were expected to eat bologna sandwiches that were green.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pathetic. That shouldn't even happen.
You know?
And a lot of people, if they have any complaint about the boarding home, they're afraid of speaking out or getting in touch with the health department or anybody that can do anything, because they're afraid they'll get kicked out or put out on the street.
Yeah, you told me, basically in a boarding home you have no rights.
Not really.
Yeah.
You have the Landlord-Tenant Act, which protects you.
Yeah.
But I mean, how many mental patients even know it exists?
Yeah.
Some do, some don't.
Yeah.
Most of them are too far gone to really know what their rights are.
Now, the city subsidizes these places.
Some of them, yes. Some of them, the city subsidizes them.
But
so they're making a lot of money on the backs of people who are either mentally challenged or have some sort of psychiatric illness. And they're making tons of money on it. They're paying their mortgages off. And these people are left with, I believe it's $125 a month now that they're allowed to keep.
Yeah, I know.
So,
and let's stop right there.
Yeah.
That $125 a month, you're covered for food and shelter, but everything else comes out of the $125 a month.
Yeah, and plus you get a bus pass.
At all of these?
At a second-level lodging home.
You get a bus pass.
You get a bus pass.
So you get to get around, but you have to pay for the things you wear.
Yeah.
You have to pay for your smokes.
Yeah.
You have to pay for drink, if you drink.
And you mentioned smoke. Some boarding home operators even take advantage of their residents by selling smokes at a higher level of money than I would if I had a connection, you know.
And the city doesn't intervene in this?
No. They don't even know about it.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I know about it.
Yeah. So the oversight at the second-level lodging homes, if there is oversight, it's very...
It's very minimal.
Minimal, yeah.
Like, you're basically under the Landlord and Tenant Act. They can't just throw you out on the street unless they have a darn good reason.
But if you don't know, you can't be thrown out on the street. What's to stop them?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And The problem with boarding homes, I find they're all different. Like, some are really good, where the food's really exceptionally well-cooked and prepared, and other places the food is substandard.
Yeah.
So they're not all the same.
Give us an idea of what substandard food tastes like.
Well, I was in one where, let's say, the bologna sandwiches were green.
Okay.
In other words, they were rotten.
Yeah.
And the dog wouldn't even eat it.
You know, yeah, yeah.
Take a sniff at it and leave.
Yeah. Does staff eat the same meals that you eat?
No. At some places they do, and other places they don't.
All right.
It's different in every one.
Okay.
But I was in one home where the guy ate chicken while we were expected to eat bologna sandwiches that were green.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pathetic. That shouldn't even happen.
You know?
And a lot of people, if they have any complaint about the boarding home, they're afraid of speaking out or getting in touch with the health department or anybody that can do anything, because they're afraid they'll get kicked out or put out on the street.
Yeah, you told me, basically in a boarding home you have no rights.
Not really. Yeah. You have the Landlord-Tenant Act, which protects you.
Yeah.
But I mean, how many mental patients even know it exists?
Yeah.
Some do, some don't.
Yeah.
Most of them are too far gone to really know what their rights are.
Yeah. And there are no advocates for these people?
Well, there used to be years ago. I was an advocate for when I worked for the Mental Health Rights Coalition.
Yeah.
I was an advocate for people.
So you did casework?
Well, no, not exactly.
Okay.
But I mean, if we visited boarding homes and if somebody had a problem, we'd look into it.
Yeah.
But they don't do that anymore.
Mental Health Rights doesn't do that?
Well, they don't have advocates for people in second level lodging homes like they did in the old days.
Why?
I guess it just costs too much money. And I was a peer support worker for the Mental Health Rights Coalition for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only supposed to be there a year, but they ended up having me for 5 years. And they cut that program out.
Oh, they now were paid, were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now they have what they call peer-to-peer,
mm-hmm.
I understand,
mm-hmm.
workers, and they are not paid
right.
for their work. So what they're basically doing is they're using some psychiatric survivors to advocate for other psychiatric survivors, but they're not willing to pay them.
Right.
That's basically what they're saying. So what they're saying is, you're not worth a nickel.
Yeah.
Goodbye, you know?
Yeah.
And that sucks. I don't think it's right, you know? And there's also the issue of the public trustee who handles finances for people who are unable to handle any kind of level of finances themselves.
Yeah, if you're left a legacy, I understand that the subsidy stops.
Yeah.
Now, if your legacy's in trust, does the subsidy still stop?
I don't know. I'm
okay.
Not sure.
Yeah.
But I understand. I read an article in one of the Toronto papers where a public guardian got busted for mismanaging mentally challenged people's money.
Yeah, I did too.
You know? You read about that
too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you can't even trust government officials. They're not all corrupt, but the ones that are.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing much happened to that person either.
Yeah.
Nothing much happened. You just read about it one day and it was forgotten about the next.
How do you get into this situation and how do you get out of it?
What situation? You mean being in a
boarding
home?
Being in a second level lodging home where you don't get anything to spend and you don't have anything to say.
Well, the only way out is if you have enough smarts to be able to approach community agencies
mm-hmm.
that provide housing geared to income. Because
mm-hmm.
basically most people in second level lodging homes are on disability, the majority of them.
Yeah.
So if you have the smarts to be able to go to a social agency and say, look, I want to get out of this situation, can you help me? They will.
Okay.
But a lot of people don't even know that exists, or that's even aware.
What about these peer-to-peer advocates? It sounds like they're tremendously outnumbered.
I don't know how that works now, because I haven't been a worker there for a number of years. I work for somebody else now. I'm in a totally different area of part-time work. I work part-time.
Yeah, you'd have to have somebody tell you about it. In other words, to figure it out.
Yeah, but they don't want people in boarding homes to be smart, because then they're losing money, right? They're going to lose business. So they want to keep you stupid so that you keep them going, you know?
I've known the ODSP system to actually put people in boarding homes who are living in apartments, too. How does that happen?
Oh, that's probably in cases where a person can no longer take care of themselves, like bathe or dress themselves.
Oh, I've seen them break up married couples.
You're kidding.
And send them to homes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that happened to you.
Yeah, it does. Oh. Yeah. It's a power they have.
Yeah, a lot of people are afraid to speak out because they're afraid that, like I said, they're afraid they're going to get booted out on the street or they're going to give them a rough ride, you know?
Yeah.
If they speak out or say anything.
What's it like to get a rough ride?
I don't know, because, you know, when things got really bad, I just bided my time till I got out, and now I'm in an apartment, so.
Yeah.
You know.
But somebody who's getting a hard time there, what would they do to them?
Well, I knew this one gal, she had Down syndrome.
Yeah?
And they pick on her all the time. You know,
the staff?
It's all her fault. You know, she's bad. And
yeah?
Oh, yeah. They really, and they just...
Soak it up. Have to.
Soak it up, yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I mean, that's what happens once you're in the psychiatric system. You know, unless you have a lot of money or you're from a rich family, getting any kind of justice, they'll just throw you in a boarding home and forget about you. That's basically it.
When somebody has an inheritance and they start billing them $1,100 a month, you can basically divide what you've been left by $1,100, and after that runs out, you haven't got anything to say or nothing to fight with.
No. And, you know, they say they have advocates for the mentally ill, but there's really, it all looks great on paper, but there's actually nothing being done, really.
Who are the advocates that they say they have?
Well, even our Coalition for Residential Care Facilities, I mean, we do what we can, but what can we do? There's not much you can do.
No. Well, you've been asking for an increase in that 125 for a long time.
Yeah. We're asking for it to be raised to 185.
That's not much.
No, it's not much.
Yeah.
And I mean, 185, how can you live on that? If you buy cigarettes, there's $140 for cigarettes a month.
Yeah.
And they only give you 125. So how are you going to buy your toiletries, your clothes, your shoes, you know? You have to go to clothing banks to get clothes if you're smart enough to know about them. You can go to clothing banks to get shoes and clothes. You can get toiletries for free at different agencies, or you go to different parties at Christmas. They give you stuff like aftershave, shampoo, you know, that kind of thing. So there are ways of getting around that to get stuff for free, if you know about it.
Where would somebody call who was concerned for someone in a care home to find out about this stuff? Is there a place you can call?
I guess if you're really concerned about someone's well-being, you could get in touch with the Mental Health Rights Coalition.
Yeah, okay.
Like they're on Emerald and Main now.
Yeah.
They moved.
Okay.
And, I don't know the exact address, but it's right on the corner of Emerald and Main.
Okay.
And they'd be able to help.
They're in that Sons of Italy project, are they?
No, Main, not King.
Oh, King, okay, Main. Yeah, all Main. Right, sorry.
You know, across from Gibson's Pharmacy?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right there.
Okay, yeah.
And they could probably be of some help. But I mean, it's pretty rough. Once the psychiatrists get a hold of you, you're done. You're like toast. Unless, like I said, unless you have a lot of money or if you're from a rich family, but if you're not.
Well, the sleep therapists are pretty free with drugs too.
Yeah.
If you have apnea or something like that, they'll just feed you with speed until you can't do anything.
Yeah.
And it's quite surprising.
Yeah. Well, they destroy a lot of lives.
Yeah.
It's sad to say, but from my experience of psychiatric facilities, you know, they just dope you up. They don't even bother dealing with the issues, the problems. They just, you know, they'd rather dope you up to shut you up, and they don't want to hear about it. You know what I mean?
So if you come out of it and you're frustrated, what happens then?
Well, then you get frustrated and angry, and next thing you know, they blame you because you have anger issues. Well, if you were abused as a child or abused by family members or whoever, you'd be angry too, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's only natural for a human being to get angry if they're in a situation where they're not treated with dignity.
So
that's normal.
So they set you apart as somehow other than the kind of human being they are if you're angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, a lot of people are with psychiatric illnesses are still viewed as subhuman by some people.
Yeah.
By some people, not everyone.
Yeah.
And that's sad, you know.
Yeah.
Because these are human beings,
and
a lot of them are talented or were talented at one time, but they've been through the whole rigmarole so long, so for so many years, that they've just given up on themselves, you know. A lot of them end up going to jail, and the whole vicious cycle starts all over again, you know. It's sad, but...
Well, the system of constantly taking away from people who've contributed to the system until something's happened to them is humiliating for everybody on fixed incomes, but most of all for people in care homes.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be there for the meals. You have to plan your life around the schedule that's convenient for the staff.
Yeah, and they hold on to the medication, so you have to be there at the times that the medication's being given out.
Yeah.
So they have control over that. They have control pretty well of your whole life, really, when you're in there.
Yeah.
You have really no say in the matter.
Yeah.
And even if you do have a family heirloom or whatever, somebody leaves you money or property, and you can't take care of it, then, you know, good luck getting anything because it'll be eaten up in a number of years, you know.
Yeah.
It'll be eaten up and you're left back to square one with nothing, next to nothing. There should be a better system of doing things where you don't lose a lot of cash, but like I know in...
System seems set up to burn cash.
Yeah, like in Scandinavian countries they have a whole different way of treating people with mental illnesses or even people in the criminal system. It's totally different over there. Over there, they actually try to rehabilitate people.
Yeah.
And they don't really send them to jail. They send them to cottages where they live and work. And,
really?
And when they feel they're ready, they send them back to the cities and they put them in apartments and give them a car and a life.
Yeah.
But here, it's more punishment than rehabilitation, you know. Even in the criminal justice system in Canada. The criminal justice system in Canada is a joke anyway.
Well, yeah, we've got the legal aid strike going on now. Yeah. And even, you know, even the Crown lawyers, the ones who prosecute as opposed to defend, the ones who are supposed to be trying to put you in jail, they say it's not fair anymore.
No, well, it isn't. Well, I mean, it's not what you've done, it's who you are. Like, if you've got the money or you're person of high standing in the community and you're caught doing a criminal act, then they kind of slough it off and give you a little slap on the wrist and say, oh, you're a bad boy, and you know, nothing much is done. It depends who you are. Like if you're I mean, there's good and bad in every walk of life. I'm not trying to say they're all bad, but I'm saying that if you're a person in the community who's looked up to and you do something wrong, usually they'll give you a slap on the wrist or tell you not to do it again. But if it's just an ordinary citizen who's not in a position of power or trust, they'll nail them to the wall.
So if you're in a care home, they won't, you know, and you're charged criminally, they won't look for rehab. They'll just put you into the justice system, like Kingston or something.
Well, if it's serious enough, I suppose they would. If it's just a nickel and dime thing, I don't think so. But if it's serious enough,
you'd think the more serious it was, the more seriously they'd go for rehab.
Well, it doesn't work that way.
No, I guess not.
No.
All right. So what's the hope for the future for people at second-level lodging homes?
Well, I think the only future you have is your own head. If you're bright enough and intelligent enough to get out of that situation and be able to function in any kind of level where you could have a better existence and living in a second level lodging home, more power to you, you know. That's what I say.
Yeah.
And there are people out there who can, who are willing to help, even if people can't manage their money. There's trustees that can be connected with who will make sure all their bills are paid and that they have so much spending money every week. And
who does this?
Well, there's agencies that have them, that have trustees that are willing to do that for them.
Are we going to talk about those agencies here or no?
No, we're not going to mention their names.
Okay.
I don't want to mention names, but there are agencies.
So if you're in that situation, you might be able to find out who.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I don't want to mention any.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So you can get help, but you have to initiate it yourself, or you have to have someone in your family initiate it for you.
Yeah. Or a friend.
Or a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't lose your network on the way down.
Because it's really sad, you know. You go to some of these homes and you look at some of the people that live in them, and they look so sad. They look like they've just given up on life, you know.
Well, they haven't got the money to do anything but sit on the porch.
Yeah.
And you see them all over the place just sitting on the porch.
Yeah. Smoking cigarettes or bumming cigarettes and drinking coffee.
Bumming cigarettes.
Well, what can they do? They haven't got any money.
Yeah.
What are they supposed to do? You know, go on the corner of King and James and, you know, hook for a living, and then they're back in jail again. You know?
Yeah.
So it's a vicious cycle, you know.
I live across from a care home, and I was approached recently to buy a bus ticket, and I don't know where they got a bus ticket, but... they wanted to sell the bus ticket for a discount so they could get something else with the money.
Yeah.
And they were basically shuffling around for loonies.
Yeah.
So it gives you an idea of the situation that they're in. I don't think anybody who's listening to this show, unless you've got a radio in your care home, has lived on $125 a month.
No.
It's. I'm going to refer you, if you're interested in the economics of the situation, to a site, www.thestop.com. .org. And I think it's www, but it's The Stop. Put it in Google, The Stop. And they have at the bottom of the site, they have a link called Do the Math. If you go to Do the Math, you can put in what you think it costs to live. And when you're done, you can see, in fact, what you'd really get in each different situation. I don't think they even have a listing for care homes. I think I'm going to encourage them to do so because the worst of the situations.
Well, I work part-time, and I'm on disability, and I'm able to work part-time, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I live
on... They take half of that, though, don't they?
Yeah, they take half your pay and give you an extra $100 on your check.
Yeah.
So I live on approximately about $11.50 a month after you put my pay together with my check.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my bills are like $1,000 a month, so I'm left with maybe... Well, under $1,000 a month. I'm left with about $94, $97.
Okay.
After all my bills are paid, because I have like stuff like accident insurance that I pay. I have to buy cigarettes. I have to buy food. I have to buy a bus pass. It all costs money.
Yeah.
So I'm left with about $94 leeway.
Yeah.
And that's what my entertainment money is.
Yeah.
If I was in a boarding home, I wouldn't have that. Yeah. I'd have next to nothing. I'd have a bed, my meals, and $125 a month. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty depressing for anybody to have to live with, you know?
Well, after your cigarettes, your $125 a month would be nothing.
No.
And cigarettes are known to be calming to psych patients as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, in fact, there was a time when psych patients got free cigarettes.
Not anymore. They have smoking cessation programs.
Yeah.
Try to help psych patients quit smoking.
Yeah.
Because pretty soon, I don't know when it's going to come into effect, but all hospitals are going to be non-smoking, totally non-smoking. All the psych hospitals are going to be totally non-smoking.
Mm.
They already are not allowed to smoke in hospital, and pretty soon they'll have to go right across the highway, across the street if they want to light up.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to be.
Yeah.
But there are programs that will help you quit if you want to quit. They do have smoking cessation programs in place.
Are they any good?
I believe they work, yeah.
Well, we have one bright light in the darkness for people in second-level lodging homes. Anything that you want to say that we haven't covered?
Well, if there's anybody listening that wants a better life, you know, there's people out there who are willing to help you. You just have to take the first step, that's all.
Appreciate that, Cass.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the time to come in here today.
Well, thank you.
Okay.